This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special music guest for you. We're joined with Guy Blakesley of Entrance. Guy, how's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, doing well. I can't complain at all. It's pretty cold and overcast here in Memphis on this Groundhog Day. But other than that, life is good.
Right on. I didn't know it was Groundhog Day. That's cool.
Yeah. So depending on what he does today, we could expect up to six more weeks of winter.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Yep. Well, at least that's what they say anyway. So, Guy. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some new things that you've been working on. I know that, the last couple months have been really, really charged with the political climate here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And you recently released a protest anthem. It was a video. For your single, Not Gonna Say Your Name. Tell me a little bit about this single, this song, and kind of what it means to you personally. I know I've had a chance to check it out and also to listen to it, and it's just, it really is a poignant and thought-provoking song. I love how it came together. Tell me a little bit about it.
Cool, yeah. So, thanks a lot. I've been spending about half the time in England and in London mainly, and I was also in Paris for a few weeks. So I was actually in Paris when the election took place, and I started, it took a couple of days for me and my girlfriend who were there together to even really be able to function normally again, not normally, but even like function at all. We kind of like fell into a state of kind of like mourning and shock when that occurred. And so it took a few days for me to really start trying to write anything about it. But once I kind of like got into the headspace of trying to respond to what was going on, I definitely wrote a lot. And at first I was just writing and writing and writing, and everything I was writing just coming out really angry and negative, and just I didn't really know if there was going to be a point in writing a song about the situation, if it was going to just be like kind of adding to the despair. So I was trying to express myself, and I wanted to contribute something that would actually maybe, at first I didn't even think of releasing it as a benefit, which I ended up doing. So the song is, the single is a benefit for Planned Parenthood, and you can pay a minimum of $1, but you could pay whatever you want. So like someone paid $250 for the one song, and all that money goes to Planned Parenthood. So, but at first I was just basically trying to figure out how I could write a song about this news without just making things worse. And I couldn't really figure it out because I was just basically so upset and angry and just confused by the whole thing. And then sort of like as I continued working on it for a few days, I started to understand like basically that like if there was going to be a way that I could talk about this man who just was elected without naming him, that somehow that would make me feel better about chiming in. And then that influenced the idea of like actually calling the song "I'm Not Gonna Say Your Name," and kind of singing an entire song to him, but also not giving him that power of like having his name repeated over and over again, because I feel like this person that I'm talking about, who I won't name, is basically like an ego creature that just feeds off of any kind of attention and publicity. And clearly now at this point that they've been in office for almost 2 weeks, I think, or maybe 2 weeks, that they whole administration seems to basically be based on kind of trolling people, like just trying to get a response. And
yeah.
They're basically like doing the opposite of what the, like, for instance, like appointing people to run an agency that actually believes in destroying that agency. That's like an example of what their philosophy is. It's also an example of how they basically like are just thriving on that attention and that reaction, and they're almost like would rather provoke a negative reaction than even try to like appeal to anyone. So
yeah.
But that's kind of getting ahead of myself. But so like as I was working on the song, I started to understand that there would be some value in proposing the idea that we need to obviously not just ignore this person and not just like roll over while they do whatever they're going to do, but to find a way to fight back against them, but also kind of like not give them so much power and attention and feed their ego. So that's kind of how the title of the song came together. And then when I got back to, I finished writing the song before the last show that I played in London, so I sang it, I sang it there, and then when I got back to LA, I recorded it really fast and just released it as a benefit. So I was able to get it out on our inauguration day, and now it's raising, still raising money for Planned Parenthood. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much the story. Another aspect of why, so like writing a song, I mean, using a song like that as a benefit is obviously a constructive use of the platform that I have as a musician, but also a big part of why I wanted to make a song about that is because I wish that someone else would do it. Like, I feel like at different times in the past century, there's been moments where social movements and kind of like resistance movements have had songs that have helped clarify what they're about and kind of bring people together and give people inspiration or comfort. So a big part of what I wanted to do was to hopefully say something that would resonate with others and kind of like in a way like provide some kind of conscious escape from the situation. So that's been a really positive aspect of it for me, is just knowing that there are people every day that are discovering the song and feeling like it's saying something that they agree with and that makes them
absolutely
some kind of hope, or some kind of, in spite of the sad aspect of it, it gives them kind of like a positive feeling.
Absolutely, which is good. I mean, I think that's you know the whole purpose of music is, you know, and being a musician is to not only entertain, but to help, you know, uplift and to, you know, to be that mirror, you know, to a world that, you know, oftentimes goes unchecked, you know, like, you know, we're talking about this person in particular, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that he's been doing has been going, you know, unchecked. And so, you know, to be able to highlight that and to show that, you know, through music,
yeah.
You know, it just it really, you know, it's a great way to really, you know, get across and to show, you know, what's going on in our world that a lot of people oftentimes turn away from. So.
Yeah, another thing about the way that I try to talk about him in the song is like there's obviously room. You know, as a believer in free speech and a believer in debate and discussion and not just, like, blindly accepting what someone tells you, I definitely think that it's important to have dialogue and conversation about issues, and I'm willing to discuss actual political issues or policies with people that I would disagree with. So it's not really about, like, I'm right and you're wrong kind of thing, but it's more like I'm trying to appeal to the basic morality and common sense that just I feel like is on top of what you believe about this or that, just the character of this person, and they're sort of like, just on a human level, they're just offending everything that I think is right. So it's like you could be like, well, build a wall or don't build a wall, but that's that's kind of beside the point. The fact that this person just seems to show no respect for his fellow man or fellow woman is like, even before any political, it's beyond political. It's like, I take it personally. I feel like it's like his character is offensive to what the character of a human being should be like, I think. So in the song I say, like, don't you have a mother? Like, how can, basically, like, how can you behave this way if you have a mom? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What does your mom think about these things that you say? And, you know, what does your daughter think about you saying that you're grabbing women? And, like, you know, that's beyond, like, are you a Democrat or Republican? It's like, are you a human being that cares about other human beings, or are you just, like, not even a person?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I know that, you know, the whole Planned Parenthood is a hot-button issue for a lot of people, and, you know, Congress has gone as far as to, you know, defund it. What was the driving factor in you deciding that, you know, proceeds from the sale of this song would go to help Planned Parenthood? Because I know it's a cause that you hold, you know, near and dear to your heart. But tell me.
Yeah, there's plenty of organizations that and causes that I basically originally was like, well, it's going to benefit the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and this and that. And I really, like, basically just made sense to simplify it to one thing so that it's just more, kind of just more direct. But one of the things that I think is important about Planned Parenthood is that I think another thing is, like, the issue of abortion is something that I personally believe strongly that a woman's right to do what they want or need to do with their own body. But I also do see that there's plenty of room for discussion of, you know, the moral or philosophical aspect of whether that's the right thing to do or not. So I'm not trying to force anyone to agree that that's right. I just believe that it should be up to a person to decide what they do with what's going on in their own body. But another thing is that that organization provides healthcare services for women, especially kind of disadvantaged women who wouldn't necessarily be able to get those services from somewhere else as easily or as affordably. And I think that, from what I understand, they basically prevent more abortions through helping people plan and, you know, kind of have access to health services than they actually perform. So it's not like I'm saying, like, my song is to raise a bunch of money so that all these people can get an abortion. It's like, it's a much more complex issue than that, but what I'm trying to support is just access to health care and counseling and all kinds of important services that women need. And really not, for me, it's not really about abortion. It's more about just respecting the right of women to have health care and support and counseling.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I agree 100%. I wanted to jump ahead and talk to you a little bit about your full-length album coming out at the end of this month. I wanted to kind of ask you, now it's called The Book of Change. Tell me a little bit about the significance behind the album's name and kind of what it means to you.
Cool. Yeah, so yeah, it's actually Book of Changes, and that's an English translation of the I Ching, which is like a Chinese kind of oracle, like a fortune-telling system. The I Ching is kind of like the tarot. It's not a deck of cards, but it's similar to the tarot from ancient China, and it's related also to the Tao Te Ching, which is another famous kind of spiritual text from China. But so it's like the I Ching, or Book of Changes in English, is like a kind of like a fortune-telling system where you can roll a dice or you can pull a straw, and it creates these hexagrams, and then each hexagram has, like, kind of really long explanations of the forces at work in a situation. So it's kind of like a way of consulting an oracle in regards to something that you're dealing with or going through. Maybe not so much predicting things, but just sort of getting a spiritual or kind of like wisdom-based perspective on things. And a lot of what the I Ching talks about, it's called, I mean, being called the Book of Changes, it makes sense, but it talks a lot about just how everything is change and like the forces at work in any situation mainly have to do with kind of currents of change. So that phrase, Book of Changes, has definitely kind of stuck with me for a long time. And the way that I wrote a lot of the songs was by doing this daily writing exercise that I do, where I write 3 pages of kind of like automatic writing first thing in the morning. And so a lot of the lyrics and ideas for the songs came from that process. And at one point a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, when I started doing that exercise, without really knowing why, I wrote the phrase Book of Changes on the front of the book that I was using to do this writing. And then later when I was kind of finishing up the record, I went back through some notebooks looking for some lyrics that I was trying to finish, and I saw that written on the cover of the book, and I just felt like it connected to what the songs were about. So like, because a lot of the songs are dealing with different kinds of change and kind of cycles of change. So a pretty obvious cycle of change would be like the seasons. And the seasons are used metaphorically and literally in a few of the songs as kind of like a theme of the kind of like the kind of change that's happening, whether we like it or not, that we basically have to learn how to interact with rather than being able to control. And then there's other kinds of change, obviously, that we decide to make, or actions that we can take that cause change. So a lot of what the songs are about, in a sense, is like the relationship between our choices and how we can decide to change things, and then how there's just things that are going to change that we can't control, and how do we kind of reconcile those two things. And so I was going through, and especially through the writing process, was going through a lot of those kind of psychological changes myself, and definitely getting kind of like, while a lot of the things that I'm singing about and kind of the emotions there are from my own life experience, there's also a lot of kind of situations or stories that came from my imagination that are kind of more like at least partially made up characters and situations. And that's kind of, in a way, that's what makes this different than anything I've ever written before. And also kind of like inhabiting these characters that I was in a way making up, I kind of became them in my life. And then that sort of, in a weird way, like brought a lot of drama into my internal experience. So I actually through working on these types of songs about this kind of change, I kind of like brought that upon myself in a real way too.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk to you, and this kind of leads into my next question, but you know, it sounds like, you know, working on this album definitely had a positive impact on you for the better. How would you describe, I guess, the writing process and just, you know, overall, you know, working on this album and you know, because it seems like you really put your heart and your soul into it, that you've grown, you know,
yeah,
as a person from this album.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I guess, like, a big part of the process was, like I mentioned, like this daily practice of writing. So like, I mean, since I've been playing music, and even before I played an instrument, I've always written poetry or songs or stories, or, you know, I've always felt like I identified with myself as a writer. But the getting a little older and kind of wanting to take this craft of writing more seriously, I came to realize that in order to really be a writer, the main thing that makes you a writer is that you write, not that you think about writing or you, you know, consider yourself a writer. So, so just the act of really like getting in the habit of writing a lot and learning how, in a way, to write without judging it and really just kind of let as much stuff come out as I can and then edit it later. That was a big part of how I kind of made a lot of the breakthroughs that created these songs, because I feel like people in general are kind of, whether they're a writer or another creative type of person or just anyone, I think that we have a lot of like self-doubt and judgment that goes into creativity. So if we overthink something before we create it, it will often not get created because we've like kind of blocked it with our fear that it's not going to be good enough, or our, you know, we've just like our thoughts and judgments have gotten in the way of something that could have been created. So knowing that I really like had this strong like kind of overpowering desire to make a record and to kind of to create something that was a complete statement, in order to really get to the place where I even had the songs that I could start recording to do that, I really like had to overcome a lot of my resistance and doubt and kind of laziness and all these things that get in the way of actually writing a lot of words every day. But a big part of what gets in the way of that, I think, is like thinking that it's not good enough before you've even tried it. So there's a lot of experimentation that went into the songs, both in the writing of the words and also in the way it was recorded and produced. And I definitely also, while on the one hand there's a lot of instruments and there's a lot of kind of things that each song has that help present the idea of the song differently, at the core of all of them is the idea that I wanted to be able to play the songs and sing them just by myself with one instrument. Because that's another thing that I think is kind of missing from most of the music that is being made nowadays. There's always like a laptop on the stage, or there's like pre-recorded drums, or there's, you know, there's like the main hook of the song is on a synthesizer, but then, you know, there's just things that where like someone was like, oh, you wrote a song, let me hear it. And if you just had a guitar, it would be like a lot of pop music and just music that's coming out nowadays would be hard to really convey the core essence of the song with just a guitar or a piano and your voice. So I really wanted to be like, to be able to present it like that and have that be at the core of the song and then build upon that, but not like, not be reliant on having a lot of people just to, or a lot of equipment just to be able to transmit the song. So all the songs I've been playing live as a solo artist, and I'm also going to be playing live with a band, and, you know, none of the songs in the album feature only me playing on them, but I could still perform them by myself. And I guess that's like the difference to me between a song and a track. Like most music that we hear nowadays that's new, there may be a song in there somewhere, but it's kind of more of a track or a production. And there's like a, if you stripped away a lot of the layers of technology and stuff, there might not be something there that would stand up on its own. It's not to be. There definitely are people that I can think of that I know or that I admire that are doing really amazing things, I think, with just songwriting, where you could actually play, they could play you their song with an instrument. So I'm not saying that that's obviously not completely missing, but it's just it's not really where the culture is going right now. So I feel like that was something that I wanted to like get back to for myself.
Absolutely.
And then also I was traveling a lot while I was making the record, and I so I'm kind of like, now I live in, I mean, I've lived in L.A. for almost 10 years, and I live there now. I'm headed back there today. But during a lot of the process, I was traveling and not really sure if I was going to stay there or if I was going to move to England or if I was going to move back to Baltimore, where I'm from. So it's really kind of like my sense of where I belong or like what I'm supposed to do with my life was kind of uprooted during the process. I think that I got to kind of like work through that in some of the songs, but I definitely feel like that probably comes like part of the psychology of the record is like kind of wondering where you're supposed to be or like if you're in the right place or like imagining a different life and kind of like feeling conflicted about where you belong.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to jump ahead and talk a little bit about what you've got going on in the coming months, because I know that you are slated to perform at the Planned Parenthood Benefit Concert in Los Angeles coming up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, just in about a little bit over a week and a half. Do you plan
yeah.
to do any extended touring in support of your new album?
Yeah, I'm starting in April. I'm doing a U.S. tour and then a U.K. and European tour. So, like, the whole month of April is going to be those two tours. And then after that, I'll definitely continue touring throughout the rest of the year, but I'm not sure kind of what comes after April.
I hear you.
But, yeah, so I'm kind of I'm putting together a group to accompany me on those shows kind of at the moment.
Very nice, very nice. Do you think you'll be doing any music festivals this summer, or do you think it's kind of too early to tell?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not really sure, but that's definitely the plan for sure.
Awesome, awesome. And what is, I guess, the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your new album? Because I know you've got your new album coming out, and, you know, while it is politically charged, you know, there's so much, you know, it's just such a great album all the way around. Tell me.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I was just wondering, what is the biggest takeaway that you want people to take away from your new album?
I guess, like, the reason why I made, and, like, whereas the new song that I released that we were talking about earlier, that's a single, and that's kind of like this one idea that's about a specific topic, and it's sort of like this, like, one thing, like a single. I want, like, you could just go through, as a musician today, you could just, like, make singles every once in a while, and that would be, like, a way to put your music out there. But so there's something about an album. Also, another reason why I called it Book of Changes is because I feel like, in a way, an album, to me, like, albums that I really like are a lot like a book. Like, there's, like, chapters and kind of characters that develop, and there's kind of a narrative underlying the progress from the beginning to the end. So you kind of like, when you put the needle down on the record, you're kind of like opening the book. And then when you flip it over, you're turning the page to another chapter. So there's like and in a way it's also kind of like a movie. Like each song is a scene in the movie, and there's sort of the way that each song is produced is to get the most out of the feeling or the storyline of each individual song, and then the ways that the songs relate to each other create this larger story that's kind of like a, you know, I guess an album and a movie and a novel are all kind of like these grander kind of a statement as opposed to like a short film or a single or a poem, you know? So it's like, I feel like I was compelled to try to make something that was more grandiose in a way than what I had done before, and that when you finished listening to it, you feel like you've gone on a journey with it. It's not just like one type of song or one type of sound. So the reason that I wanted to make something like that is because I've been so inspired and kind of helped along the way in my life by other people's creations like that. And so I guess my point being, like, hopefully it can be inspiring as a feat of kind of, even if it falls flat in some ways, like, it's, I tried to do something almost bigger than I was capable of. And that's sort of like the message of the whole thing, is like pushing yourself further with whatever it is that you're doing is kind of like, that's where the unexpected, really great things that are going to touch people and kind of affect people are going to come from. So, like, ideally, I would love it to be the kind of record that makes someone that also makes music, like, want to try harder to make what they're doing maybe more than what they're capable of, too.
Absolutely.
And also, like, because there's a lot of, like, intellectual, like, I could talk a lot about it, and there's a lot of words involved in it and stuff, so there is, like, a mental part of it, obviously. There's a lot of thought and went into it, but really, like, the ultimate purpose of it too is not just about the mind, but it's also about the heart. So it's about, like, connecting the mind and the heart, or opening the heart, or, you know, touching someone's heart. It's more important to me that someone feels something from it than that they even necessarily understand what I'm trying to say. It's much more about the feeling than it is about the ideas of the words or the concepts.
I agree completely. And that's the beauty of music, is, you know, being able to have that open interpretation. Of course, you're meaning one thing, you know, intending for one thing, but you're also opening the door for interpretation from your fans, you know, people listening to your album. And I think that's so amazing, because that just lines up with what you said earlier about, you know, being able to have freedom of speech and expression. You know, you're really a big proponent of that, and that, you know, to me is one of, you know, your most dapper qualities.
Oh, thanks. Another thing about, like, making music at this time is very unique, because there's never been a time where the technology and the industry of music was the way it is now. So there's ways in which, as an artist, it's not so good, such as, like, just it's unlikely that it's going to sell a lot of physical copies that would actually make anyone a significant amount of money. And there's a lot of time and money that went into making it, and it's kind of like that was just a donation to the cause of the experience of listening to it, more than it was necessarily a surefire investment in, like, making that money or time back. So that's, like, what the digital world that we're in is kind of what it's like from a lot of musicians now. But on the other hand, the fact that the ultimate purpose of it is not to make money, but to actually be listened to and to be incorporated into people's life experience. And so the way that the digital medium of hearing it, like, opens it up to that is totally amazing and unprecedented. Like, so I like to imagine, like I just discovered this artist called Phoebe Bridgers, who I've never heard of until, like, last week. And she has this single called Smoke Signals that just came out. I've been listening to it, like, I've been doing this job where I drive a lot, and I've been listening to it as I drive around L.A. doing this job, and I've been kind of noticing, like, how the song seems different if I'm on the highway or if I'm on a side street or if it's raining or if it's the sun's going down. So it's like the song, once a song is in this digital form where anyone can just listen to it wherever they are, it really, that's when it comes to life as a thing that has all these different possibilities of how it can be experienced. Like, someone could be listening to it on their iPhone in a faraway country that I've never been to, or someone could be listening to it like while they're on some crazy drugs or something, or they could be, you know, like there's kind of like all the work that went into creating it was basically just so that it could be this digital thing that basically could exist anywhere and then be incorporated into people's lives and into the things that they're doing. So it's like a backdrop to experience. And at that point, it's completely out of my hands, and it's up to people who are going to listen to it to decide when and where and how and kind of incorporate it into their world. And that's a really, like, it wasn't like that when music was all on records, you know. You could listen to it in a different place or in a different setting or a different time of day or a different kind of stereo or whatever, but it was always, you needed a record player, so you weren't going to be listening to a record that just came out driving down the road or, you know, in a cornfield with a Bluetooth speaker or something, you know. So now it's like the song as a digital file kind of could go anywhere, and there's so much kind of unknown possibilities with that. It's pretty fascinating, I think.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it it also opens up the world, you know, to your music, you know, because like you said, it goes all over, and you know, it just, you know, it's kind of like the World Wide Web. It just really, you know, makes everything, you know, that much more closer, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
being
able to like release a song and have people in many different parts of the world listening to it within a minute of when you put it somewhere, is that's just the instantaneous like transmission of it is another thing that I think is really a new thing that I think we benefit from both as musicians and as music listeners. Like it's like the time that it takes to hear something has drastically diminished, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Guy, thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, I really appreciate being able to, you know, hear about this album and just having you on the show. It's been amazing. And I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Well, I would just say because of the peculiarity of the time that we're in and like music and art and just creativity and connecting with other people is just, it's always been important, but it's just, I think, getting to be more crucial than ever, and so I just feel like grateful to be a part of that network of connecting to people, and I really feel like we should all be going out of our way to just take that to another level now, because we really need to, you know, find ways that we can agree and that we can connect and really kind of like build a much larger family of people that are all in it together. I feel like that's the only way that we're going to defeat this dark force that I feel like is trying to take over the world right now.
Absolutely. I agree.
And, you know, a big part of that is being open to sympathizing and empathizing with people that you might disagree with and not just assuming that they're evil or stupid or bad, but also, on, you know, that's important too, but also on certain fundamental issues, I feel like it's really important to be willing to say no and to go to great lengths to resist these certain things. Like,
I agree.
Like it's an interesting time because there's like some of the questions that I have, kind of, maybe I can just throw them out there as rhetorical questions for people that are listening to think about, would be like, because I mentioned free speech, like if you disagree with what someone's saying, I feel like it makes sense to give them a chance to say it. And but yet at the same time, there's certain kinds of things that certain kinds of people are saying that will lead to actions that I don't think that we should allow to take place. So then it's like, for instance, this guy, Richard Spencer, that just got punched on camera. You know about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, it's an interesting time because there's things like, okay, here's an actual Nazi who's getting all this media attention and sort of getting a chance to present, like, basically the idea that some people are inferior and should be exterminated. He's, like, being given a platform to promote that idea, and then someone just walks up to him while he's on camera and punches him in the face. And, like, so many people in the world, like, made videos of that, like, a loop of him getting hit because it made them so happy to see him getting hit that they wanted to watch it over and over again, and people said it to different songs, and, like, there's just a lot of discussion right now, like, is it okay to punch a Nazi? And it's like, if you go back to World War II, it's like, you know, like a whole war took place partially because of that. And there's some kinds of things that you need to, we need to stop that, you know. There's this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, he's another, like, really obnoxious leader of that alt. Yeah, so he, like, last night at Berkeley, UC Berkeley in California, which was actually the birthplace of the free speech movement in the 60s, he's doing a college tour where he's going to colleges and speaking, and basically, like, anti-fascist protesters are shutting down his event, and he keeps getting, basically, like, he's supposed to speak, but it gets canceled because there's just people, like, almost rioting outside saying, like, you're not welcome here. We don't want you here. And I feel like I can't say for sure what my full take on that is. I feel like it is important to allow other viewpoints and other, you know, who are we to say? On one hand, like, who am I to say that I'm right and you're wrong and so you shouldn't be allowed to talk? But then there's, like, most people in the world would agree that advocating for the extermination of a race of people or advocating for the oppression of a group of people just is wrong and should just be like, fuck you, you can't say that, you can't do that. So I feel like I don't have the answer, but I don't feel like violence is the answer, but I also do kind of feel like a satisfaction that someone punched that guy and that everyone in the world that doesn't agree with him is just laughing at him. Like, I feel like he deserves right. That because what he wants to promote is way bigger violence than just hitting someone. He basically is, like, trying to say, he's trying to make it cool. He's trying to make the idea that there's people that should be exterminated cool. So when someone's like, that's what their deal is, I feel like they should definitely expect someone to hit them, you know. It's like, where do you draw the line? I don't know.
Exactly.
I think it's going to get crazy. I think we need to be careful about using violence because it's going to give those things that we're trying to resist, in a way, like, give them more power or give them more attention. So I'm not really sure what the exact answer is, but I guess to get back to my point, like, it's important to consider other viewpoints, but it's also important to recognize when something is just clearly not okay and to stand up against it rather than being like, oh, I'm going to give it a chance. I don't think that we should be giving, I don't think that we should be giving Nazis any kind of a chance to do anything.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
We've come too far, and it's just, you know, it's really despicable that there are people that want to see other people that are different, you know, exterminated, and they want to see them suffer. I mean, that's just a evil, 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 evil quality. You know, it's the most vile quality.
Like I mentioned when I was talking about my song, Not Gonna Say Your Name, it's like, in a way, like, that guy Milo, by going to these college campuses, he knows that, like, UC Berkeley is a liberal place. He knows that basically, like, on the whole, college students are liberal. or at least not like extreme far-right conservatives. So he's basically going there specifically to provoke their reaction. And then the fact that they like lit a bunch of stuff on fire and like basically caused a riot and made it so he didn't get to speak, like, I applaud the fact that they shut down his thing, but also that kind of like is probably exactly what he wanted. And probably in his world, that's like, see, look, these people are crazy. Like whereas we think of him as a fascist, he probably is getting people that support him to consider the people that shut his thing down fascist. He's like, they don't believe in free speech. Like, they wouldn't let me speak. Like, that's fascist, you know? So it's like, it's definitely like a game. It's like a tricky game that's going on.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. It's going to take, you know, people just standing up and, you know, condemning, you know, the stuff that's going on for it to change. I mean, because as long as people, you know, co-sign and sign off on this stuff being okay, you know, it's going to keep happening. But I think if we, you know, get more people that are just, you know, willing to say, like, hey, I'm not okay with this. This isn't cool. You're wrong for treating people like this. I think, you know, a change will come. But until then, you know, sadly, it's almost like we're going back in circles, you know.
Yeah. But I have a good feeling. I mean, it might sound crazy to say, but like, I have a pretty good feeling about, I feel encouraged that so many people are willing to go out in the street and protest and willing to, you know, call their senators and their congresspeople. And like, there's a lot of people springing into action and actually trying to do something about these things that a few months ago might have had the same strong feelings or beliefs, but we're not really doing anything about it. So I wouldn't call it a bright side that, you know, because it's basically like a response to something terrible that's making all these people have to get into action. But I do feel encouraged to see that, and I feel like I have like hope and faith in this country and in people all over the world, because they're demonstrating that they are not going to just go along with these things.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree 100%. Well, guys, thank you so much again for coming on today's show, and I really, really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to the new album. It's going to be amazing, and just looking forward to, you know, all the great things you're going to do this year.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
The last time I came to Memphis, I played at the High Tone. I played in the little room, but there was literally only one person that came. So I played like basically a private show for this girl that I became my friend.
Wow.
So hopefully next time I come, there will be at least more than one person at the show.
Absolutely. Well, this, you know, Memphis is our stomping ground. So, you know, as soon as we find out your date for Memphis, we'll definitely do our part in helping get the word out.
Awesome. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. No problem at all. Well, guys, that was a guy from Entrance. Make sure to check him out. We'll put the link to his website in the body of this post. You can also follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is @EntranceLives, all one word. And, of course, he's on Facebook with EntranceLives as well. We are going to put this on all the platforms, so if you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device, so if you've got an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free. Download the app, search for show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with the guy. We're also available for Android users. If you're an Android user, you can check out this episode of the podcast by going to the Google Play Store, searching under music, and searching for a show name, Redefining the Counterculture. And lastly, we're on Roku. If you've got a Roku player, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, program, and interviews, all live from the comfort of your own home.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.